37. Before she left her office, Bella received disquieting news from the far end of the shaft. The engagement had commenced. 2.5 light minutes down from Janus, the Fountainheads, and perhaps their allies in the Shaft 5 Nexus, had encountered the Uncontained. Through the still-open door in the end cap, evidence of the battle leaked through in stuttering flashes, blue-white light shading through ultraviolet into hard X and gamma rays, and God knew what else. The radiation took 200 seconds to crawl its way to Janus, where it was detected by monitoring cams stationed on the surface of the iron sky. Cams situated near the end cap door had already expired, fried by stray fire from the battle. Bella tried to call Jim Chisholm on the embassy channel, but after allowing 5 minutes for time lag, she concluded that the link had gone down. She did not immediately assume that Chisholm had been killed, although the lack of a reply hardly reassured her. Clearly someone was still fighting someone else, so the Uncontained could not have won yet. Perhaps the Nexus was just cleaning up the last of the Resistance. They had already dealt with the Uncontained on an earlier occasion, according to the Fountainheads. They must have learned something of their enemy's vulnerabilities in that earlier encounter, some data that had tactical value in the present engagement. But the flashes continued. Now and then there'd be a pause, and Bella would hope, or fear, that the battle had reached a conclusion. Then the flashes would resume, sometimes with renewed ferocity, drenching the still active sensors with radiation fluxes that would have been lethal even to a suited human. Occasionally, the embassy channel crackled with static, as if something or someone was trying to get a message through but was being jammed. Even from this far from the source of the flashes, Bella felt the ferocity of the engagement. It was bad enough witnessing it from a distance. Worse, knowing that, if Jim Chisholm was to be believed, Bella and her people would shortly be better off there than here. Bella had often contemplated the shape and texture of her life, and wondered how it might one day come to an end. She'd always imagined soft light and hospital drapes, fake smiles and plastic flowers, sad visits from well-wishers. Somehow, even given what had happened to Garrison, she had never imagined dying in space because of space. And it had certainly never occurred to her that she might become collateral damage in a strategic conflict between warring alien cultures so far into the future that her own species was little more than an archaeological data point. Perhaps she was being ungrateful, but this development did not necessarily strike her as a positive one. She wondered how Svetlana felt about it. The train arrived on time, doors aligned precisely with luminous docking apertures etched into the side of the tube. Glass barriers whisked open, accompanied by warning chimes. No one on the platform moved or spoke. There were 8 of them: Bella, Ryan, Axford, Liz Shen, Mike Takahashi, and another 4 of Bella's closest allies. She had asked Takahashi to come along because he'd been one of Parry's old EVA miners and was liked by everyone, and she hoped that his presence would diffuse some of the tension. Parry was also present. The judicial apparatus of the High Hab had just handed him over. He stood a little back from Bella's party, detained by a hat-stand-shaped robot bailiff. No one was wearing spacesuits, as per Bella's orders. They wore normal clothes, markedly bare of ornament or ostentation, so that the absence of weapons or instruments of mass disorientation might be obvious. 3 figures stepped from the train wearing suits of the Chakri 5 series, white and smooth-limbed as soapstone figurines. The suits carried no external equipment that might have been mistaken for weapons. Bella had examined Jim Chisholm's original Chakri 5, and she knew that while the suit was capable of protecting its occupant against all manner of hostile environments, it was not in itself capable of inflicting serious harm on others. The 3 figures stepped away from the glass partition, and the train doors chimed and closed behind them. They formed a triangle, 1 figure ahead of the other 2, and walked slowly towards the committee, stopping when they had covered half the distance. By the manner of her walk, Bella knew that the person in the lead suit was Svetlana. Bella spoke first. Her throat felt dry, but she forced out the words. "Thank you for coming. As you can see, we're all unarmed and unprotected. You have nothing to fear from us." Svetlana's amplified voice boomed from the first suit. "You've brought Parry. That's good." "We had a deal," Bella said. "I've every intention of sticking to my side of it." Then you're ready to hand yourself over? Just as soon as you hand over the passkey. We need it more urgently than ever now. I don't know whether you've noticed, but Janus is showing worrying signs of instability. Not that story again. It's the truth. The first evacuees are already on their way to Underhole. When you assume command, I want you to continue with the evacuation plan. Leave Nick in charge. He'll see it through. You presume to tell me what to do when I take over? I have a duty to Janus until the last second of my command. Fine. It's coming up fast. Svetlana's tone became businesslike. I have the data in my suit. Standard constructor format. If you try anything, I'll erase the file. You won't be able to recover it. I'm not going to try anything. All I want is that passkey. Nothing else matters to me except evacuating this colony and getting us behind that end cap door. She's telling the truth, Mike Takahashi said. Svetlana reached up slowly and released her helmet. She lifted it free and touched it against the hip of her suit, where it formed a temporary adhesive bond. She glanced back at her companions, who reached up and removed their helmets. Denise Nadis shook free her dreads, letting them spill out over the suit's neck ring. Yosef Protsenko was the third member of the party. He nodded at Bella with no visible animosity, as if this was all simply some mildly unpleasant bureaucratic necessity, like a bankruptcy hearing. I'll give you the passkey, Svetlana said, but not in one go. I've split the document into two. Neither half is any use without the other. Bella shrugged. However you want to play it. Send Perry over to me. I get him back, you get one half of the file. Bella motioned to the bailiff robot. The machine escorted Perry across the platform to a point just in front of Svetlana. Release him, Bella said. The judicial apparatus had already given her verbal authority over its bailiff. The robot released Parry's restraints and stepped back on its spindly black hat stand legs. Freed, Perry stretched his arms and examined his wrists where the bonds had been applied. Did she hurt you? Svetlana asked. Perry shook his head. I'm okay, babe. Bella treated me good. He tried to kiss her, but the bulk of her suit got in the way. Abandoning the attempt, Perry looked back at Bella. I came to you willingly with that evidence, he said. I never resented what you did. I know, she said. You don't have to feel bad about this. It isn't your battle. Svetlana pulled her helmet from its grip point. I'm going to put this back on now, Bella. I need to be wearing the helmet to tell the suit to send the file. You trust me, right? Do whatever you have to do. Svetlana dropped the helmet back into place. After 20 or 30 seconds, she reached up and pulled it off again. Transfer should be in progress. It's a big file, even split in two. I've emailed it to the address you specified. I need to confirm that it's gone through, Bella said, unzipping her jacket. I'm going to pull out a flexi and make a call to Wang. You cool with that? Go ahead. Bella removed the flexi, stiffening it with a flick of her wrist, a movement so familiar now that it felt burnt into her muscles. The flexi came alive with shipnet options. According to the high-level menu, normal service had been suspended due to the state of emergency. Bella, however, did not need normal services. After a few moments, Wang was on the line. White-haired and wizardly, ancient as the hills, utterly unrecognizable as the eager young man who had dropped onto her world half a century ago. Until he smiled, that was, and then the years fell away. He was a brave man, willing to remain behind in his lab while the rest of the colony raced to the hills. I have the data, Bella. Half of a construction file. That's great. You'll get the other half shortly. Does it look valid to you? I'd need days just to skim the surface operations. There's really only one way to be sure that a construction file is valid, and that's to see what happens when you feed it into a vat. I understand. Just keep in mind this is something a little out of the ordinary. She ended the call, folded up the flexi and stuffed it back into her jacket to warm itself. We'll discuss the other half now. That means you, Svetlana said. Bella spread her arms magnanimously. I'm all yours. How would you like to proceed? The pace of events and Bella's pliant willingness clearly unsettled Svetlana. You can begin by announcing your resignation. Bella barely blinked. I resign. What else? Announce that you are handing over authority to me. I'd love to. Bella touched a finger to her lips. Problem is, I just resigned. I have no more authority than you do. Or do you want me to unresign for the sake of procedure? Svetlana growled her displeasure. Walk to the train. There's an open door at the back. Just me. Just you, Bella. Svetlana looked pointedly at Liz Shen and the other Lind loyalists on the platform. This isn't about recrimination. Everyone will be treated fairly, including you. Bella did as she was told, then paused when she was almost at the door. I'm going to get inside now. I take it the train will return me to Eddytown, to some state of incarceration? Janus isn't big enough for both of us, Svetlana said. The only way we can share it is if one of us is locked away. Just get your people out of there. I don't care if you leave me behind, but evacuate that town. We've been over this. No one's going anywhere. Is Emily there? You know she is. Then you're sentencing your own daughter to death. If you care about her, if you care about anyone, get them on the train. Pretty low, Bella. Emotional blackmail like that. I know you care about Emily. You still have a chance to save her. Get on the train. Bella paused again, just as she was about to step through the luminous aperture into the waiting maglev. As soon as I know Wang has the second file, he'll have it the moment you step onto the train. Just a second. Before I step inside, I want to show you something. You played yourself, Bella. Maybe I did, but I didn't play Chromis. Chromis? Svetlana asked, the name meaning nothing to her. Bella looked at the memorial cube. So, following her gaze, did Svetlana. The cube had been there all along, quietly waiting in the shadows at the back of the concourse. There was just enough time for Svetlana to register recognition and then surprise. Then the air moved. A storm of black shapes erupted from the visible face of the memorial cube. They were awesomely fast, cutting through the air like the shadows of fast-moving clouds on a summer day. The Reeves poured forth, orbiting the two parties in a vicious black gyre, creating a savage draft that chivied their clothes and forced them to lean into its pressure. Still they poured forth from the cube, an endless gush of black that defied the common-sense laws of what could possibly be contained in such a small volume. In a flash, the gyre of motion halted and the Reeves were suddenly on the ground, many dozens of them, poised motionless on the platform, black, sleek, knife-handed, hatchet-faced terrors from the depths of history. The wind dropped, the concourse suddenly silent. Do nothing, say nothing, think nothing, Bella said, still poised at the side of the maglev carriage. These things are very, very dangerous. Svetlana had the nerve to speak. What are they? Reeves, Bella said. Instruments of government. They're pure femtotech. There must be 100 of them here now, but the cube could make thousands of them if I ordered it. Svetlana frowned at the cube. I knew you'd found it. I also heard you'd had no more luck than I had in figuring out what it did. That was true at first, Bella said. The difference is, I touched it. You touched it? It was a message for me, sent 18,000 years after our departure. A token of goodwill, and a kind of toolkit. 18,000 years, Svetlana said, with an automatic headshake of disbelief. That's just the start of it, Bella said. I'm sorry, but we've come a lot further into the future than 18,000 years. How far I don't quite know, but it has to be tens of millions of years, probably more. And you just know all this somehow. I know that the human species is extinct, and we're all that's left. The cube told me a lot, Svetlana, but it wasn't just that. You had your doubts as well. You came to believe that the fountainheads were lying. With a trace of unease, she said, Yes, well, you were right, but they were lying out of kindness. We simply weren't ready for the truth. What now, Bella? Svetlana looked around at the massed regiment of Reeves. You appear to have the upper hand. Nothing's changed, Bella said. This was a demonstration, that's all. In a moment the Reeves will return to the cube and everything will continue as planned. I'll get on the train. You'll send the file to Wang. Wang will make the passkey. You'll get yourself and everyone else off Janus. Then why show me all this? Because I could. Because I wanted you to know that I could have ended all this hours ago. I could have taken Eddytown, Svieta, in minutes. There'd have been casualties, but the Reeves would have prevailed. Still, Svetlana didn't understand. So why didn't you? I'm tired, Svieta, Bella said. I felt the same way Paddy did when he concealed those murderers. I didn't want any more killing. If the only way to achieve that was to surrender to you, to give you everything you wanted, then fine. I was ready to do that. But I wanted you to know that it could have ended differently. Bella paused, about to stop speaking, when she felt the need to add something else. You'll win now, Sveta. You'll get the high hab and parry. But when I board that train, I'll ride it to Eddytown knowing I did the right thing. If you want to think of all this as a demonstration of my moral superiority, I won't stop you. It's not going to be much consolation to me when Janus goes up. She moved to board the train. Wait, Svetlana said. She lifted up her helmet, frowning at something on the internal HUD. Send Wang the second half of the file, Bella said. Wait, damn it. Something's happening. I don't understand, but... What? Bella asked. The suit's not happy about something. I need to put the helmet on. Tell your Reeves not to pounce. Do it slowly, Bella warned. Svetlana lowered the helmet back into place. She took longer than before. When she lifted it again and let it glue itself back to her hip, Bella could not gauge the expression on her face. It was somewhere between affront and abject dread. What? She asked again. I don't know, Svetlana said, her eyes wide with incomprehension. All I know is, I'm not seeing Eddytown. What do you mean not seeing it? It isn't there. It's dropped off the net. Something convinced Bella that this was no ruse. She retrieved her flexi, stiffened it, and examined shipnet. It was exactly as Svetlana had said. Eddytown was out of contact. Something's happened, Bella said. I know something's happened. It's specific to Eddytown. It can't be anything to do with what the Musk Dogs have done to Janus. This was a trap, Denise Nadis said. This whole setup, these things, it was all to keep our eyes off the plot. She's done something to Eddytown. I haven't, Bella said firmly. Believe me, this is none of my doing. Maybe I'm wrong and Janus is going to blow up in a few minutes. Maybe the Uncontained have slipped through already. It isn't Janus. And it isn't the Uncontained, said Chromis Paskflower Bowerbird, stepping fully formed from the embossed face of the memorial cube. But it is possibly a question of containment. They were all looking at her, not just Bella. They could all see Chromis. Chromis stopped and looked apologetic. I'm sorry. I wish there was more time for introductions. Bella can vouch for me, I think. My name is Chromis Paskflower Bowerbird, and I've been dead a very long while. But don't hold that against me. You're solid, Bella said, almost dumbfounded. There is little further point in subterfuge, now that the Reeves have made their appearance. Chromis touched the electric white fabric of her gown. I must emphasize to all concerned that I'm not human, merely a plausible simulation of a long-dead personality. This body is simply another shell of femtotech machinery, like the body of a Reeve. She looked momentarily sad. Although it does feel very convincing to me, if my memories of life are to be trusted. What's happening, Chromis? Bella asked. Something very unfortunate has occurred in Eddytown. Chromis looked sternly at Svetlana. You have a forge vat there. You were attempting to create the passkey. Yes, Svetlana said, with a renewed flash of defiance. But there was no deception in that. I agreed to hand the construction file to Wang. I never said I wouldn't make one myself. I thought that might be the wise thing to do. I'm afraid you've run into certain difficulties, Chromis said. I don't understand, Svetlana said fiercely. Tell me what's happening to Eddytown. My daughter's there. I want to know that she's okay. She may not be, Chromis said simply. Talk to me, Svetlana demanded. The passkey required femtotech machinery. The Musk Dogs may have warned you about this. They did, Svetlana said. They also said I could get around it using a normal vet. I don't doubt that they did. Chromis looked furious. They probably mentioned something about a temporary kernel or some such. Hellishly dangerous. There's only one safe way to create femtotech, and that's with a metastable kernel. What's gone wrong? Bella asked. The kernel has ruptured, Chromis said. Replicating femtotech has escaped. It will have consumed the forge vat within a few seconds, the room within a few dozen more. Major areas of Eddytown within a minute. Imagine a nuclear explosion, Bella, slowed down, black and boiling. That'll give you some idea of what it looked like. Svetlana and Bella both spoke at the same time. How do you know all this? Kromis looked at both of them crossly. Because I'm already there. How else do you think? You're standing right here, Kromis, Bella said. Part of me is here, she said patiently, but several hundred kilograms of me are now in Eddytown, and I'm reallocating more of myself there by the second. Do you need these Reeves any more? No, Bella said. The air screamed. The Reeves were gone. They're on their way, Kromis said. When they arrive, they'll fuse with the material I've already dispatched. Bella glanced at Svetlana, wondering how much of this she was understanding. To do what? The question tested Kromis's usually saint-like patience. To do something constructive about the runaway event, of course. What else? I'm sorry, Bella said. Can it be stopped? Svetlana asked. I don't know. Possibly. My daughter. The other people. You've got to do something for them. Many of them are already dead, Kromis informed her. Svetlana paled. Emily. Tell me Emily's okay. What can you do? Bella said. She's right. Whatever's happened, the survivors need to be saved. Early indications are that the replicating elements are malformed, which may be in our favor. If my femtotech elements can form a containment envelope around the bad matter, I may be able to hack in and persuade the replicators to self-disassemble, as they were always intended to do. Kromis tightened one fist, as if the effort were already costing her something. Nothing is certain, though. Femtotech is not child's play. Bella suddenly noticed something. Although the Reeves had departed, there was still a mild breeze stirring the air. Then a faint, nearly subliminal flicker of motion caught her eye. A line of black emerged from one blank face of the memorial cube. She followed it as it flowed through the air, out through the concourse, snaking through the space above her until it reached and pierced the concourse roof, tunneling a path through to the clear vacuum beyond, and then pushing itself across 80 kilometers to Eddytown. A hosing line of black femtotech, bleeding out of the cube. How much of you will it take? Bella asked. More than I'd hoped. Kromis's jaw was stiff with determination. In that instant, Bella saw the political steel that had brought the memorial project into existence. Kromis, Paskflower, Bowerbird, would not have been a woman to be crossed. How much of the cube have you sent so far? Svetlana asked. I've pushed 100 tons over already. It's formed a shell, but it isn't strong enough. It's being assimilated as fast as I can deploy it. It'll need more of me. How much more? Svetlana asked. I don't know. I'm doing everything I can. How many have died? How many are still alive? Kromis didn't reply. Bella noticed with consternation that the cube was not as large as she remembered it. It was visibly shrinking as it gave up more and more of itself to the battle at Eddytown. Kromis, she said hopelessly. This must be done, Bella. You're dying. I was sent to be useful. Then she looked at Bella with a stern but conciliatory expression. You still need that passkey. You're absolutely right, Bella said, suddenly remembering that Svetlana still had not sent Wang the second half of the file. Sveta, we need the rest of the data right now. Send it all to me, Kromis said, her tone commanding attention. Both files, Svetlana. While I still have time, I will attempt to remove the worst bugs. Then there will at least be a remote chance that you may achieve success in a larger forge vat. Svetlana looked helpless. How do I send it to you, Kromis? You're right. There isn't time. Step forward. Svetlana obeyed, almost without thinking. Now, do you trust me? Svetlana looked at Bella. There was something in that look Bella had thought she would never see again. It was not friendship or even affection. It was much too late for such things. But it was something very close to respect, and that in itself was something Bella had not seen in a long while. Svetlana was asking Bella what she thought. Trust her, Bella said. Svetlana let Kromis touch her. The white woman immediately lost form and enveloped Svetlana, flowing over her like a wave of spilled milk. The white membrane trembled, held steady, and then poured away to reshape itself into the form of a standing woman. Svetlana was still there, her mouth open, breathing heavily. I have the data, Kromis said. This will take a few moments, so bear with me. Bella shuddered to think at the agonies of frantic computation Chromis was putting herself through. The politician must have known that she was dying, or would at least be left wounded and weakened by the battle she was fighting at Eddytown. The memorial cube was down to half its original size, still visibly shrinking with each passing second as the flow of matter intensified. "It isn't working, is it?" Bella asked disconsolately. "Yes," Chromis said with savage emphasis. "It is working. Finally. I said it was badly formed, and I was right. It just took a little more time and effort than I anticipated." "Then you're winning." "Yes." But the cube was still shrinking. Bella wondered how much of it Chromis could afford to lose before the distributed simulation of her personality began to lose coherence. "I'm afraid," she said. "You should be. A word of advice. When you start the next VAT run, take the VAT into space first. At least it won't be able to gorge itself on surrounding matter if you get another rupture. The file is ready, by the way. It's still far from safe, though I've endeavored to remove the more egregious instances of sloppy assembly programming." "Can you send it to Wang?" Bella asked. "It's done. He already has it." "Thank you," Bella said. "I wish you the very best of luck with it, Bella. Unfortunately, I won't be around to see the results." The cube had shrunk down to the size of a footstool, and was continuing to shrink, like a chunk of abstract black receding into the distance. "Chromis, no, you said you were winning." "I am winning. Don't doubt that for a second. Unfortunately, the task is using up more of me than I can spare for computation. But when the containment's dealt with, can't you reassemble?" Chromis shook her head regretfully, as if it was Bella's misfortune they were discussing rather than her own imminent destruction. "There won't be much femtotech left, either from me or the runaway colonel." Chromis sighed and fingered the fabric of her gown again. "I can't spare this mass any longer, I'm afraid. I'll have to throw it into the fray. It's a shame. It was rather nice to have a body again after so much time in the cube." She vanished. Bella stared, numb with loss, at the space where she had been. An instant later, Chromis reappeared. "It's all right," she said. "Only you can see or hear me now, Bella. I can't stay around long in this form either. I'm running very low on processing capacity now. I just want you to know that I enjoyed being found." Bella started to say something, but Chromis cut her off with gentle insistence. "No, please let me finish before I go. I'm not the only one, Bella. I told you we sent out a great many memorial cubes. If this one survived, others might have too. Somewhere out there could be others like me. You only have to find one. But it wouldn't be you." "But it would be Chromis," she corrected kindly, "and every Chromis deserves to find her Bella one day. You have made me very happy. Now do the same kind deed for another one. Promise me that, will you?" "I'll do my best," Bella said. "That will have to do." Chromis smiled, held up a hand in farewell, and vanished. It was for good this time. Bella knew this on a neural level. Suddenly there was an echoing emptiness in her head, like a house grown too large after the departure of a guest. She had liked Chromis, and she knew she would come to miss her quiet wisdom in the times ahead. She looked for the cube, but there was nothing left of it. For a long time no one dared speak. Even those who had never known Chromis were moved by her sacrifice, and there was a collective unwillingness to disturb the reverential silence that followed. It was Bella, finally, who spoke. She nodded at the bailiff. "Detain Parry Boyce, please." Parry made no effort to avoid the robot as it stalked over to him and reapplied the bonds. Everything Bella thought she knew about him had told her that he would not resist, but she still allowed herself an upwelling of relief that he had not disappointed her. "Now summon the other bailiffs," she said, then turned to the three representatives from Eddytown. "What now?" Svetlana asked. "I'm resuming control," Bella said, forcing any hint of triumph from her voice. It was not difficult. All she felt was a dejected sense of obligation. Someone had to pick up the reins again.
"Then what?" Svetlana said.
"We continue with the evacuation. Nothing's changed there. We're still sitting on a ticking bomb. In the meantime, I'm going to organize a rescue party to Eddytown." She looked at Axford. "Ryan, you'd better warn your people to expect casualties,
All we have to do is keep them alive until we reach the embassy. Nothing else matters. Then to Shen, Liz, I want you to get on to Nick and see what he can spare from his end. Assume anything up to 120 people are going to make it out. Shen nodded. I'll speak to Wang as well. He can start brewing emergency rations and clothing. By all means, but remind him that we still need the passkey. If he can't give us anything without delaying work on the key, we make do with what we already have. Okay, Shen said on a falling note. We need that passkey, Bella insisted. Nothing else will matter if we can't get that door closed. I'm on it, Shen said heavily. Svetlana said, You haven't mentioned landers. A lander could reach Eddytown in a few minutes. There are no landers on this side of the sky, Bella snapped back, annoyed at having to remind her of this fact, and forget about drilling through the plug at Underhole. It'd take too long. The musk dogs drilled a new hole. That's how I came back through. Bella had completely forgotten about the new hole. She wondered if she would have remembered it if Svetlana hadn't reminded her. Is it big enough to squeeze a lander through? One of the old ones should fit easily enough, Crusader or Avenger. Bella glanced at Shen. Get on it, Liz. It'll take time to fuel and prep them, so we'll still need the maglevs and tractors. You'll need to designate a landing area near Crabtree, preferably within reach of a docking umbilical from one of the outlying domes. I'm on that too, Shen said. Bella turned to Svetlana. You were right. I shouldn't have forgotten about the landers. Let's just hope it works, okay? Let's. What's going to happen to us? Protsenko and Nadis are free to go. They can report to Nick Thale and offer assistance at Underhole after they've handed over their suits. What do you want with their suits? I want them for the rescue operation. I'll need two volunteers to wear them, preferably people who've had at least some experience of Chakri Fives. I'm in, Parry said automatically, before Protsenko or Nadis had a chance to say anything. I've used a Five, and I know Eddytown as well as anyone here. Count me in as well, Takahashi said, stepping out of Bella's group. Bella shook her head flatly. No way, Mike. We didn't bring you back to lose you again. Parry goes, I go. You don't know Eddytown. You've probably only logged an hour of suit time since you came back from the embassy. Parry can show me the ropes on the train. Don't argue, Bella. This is a minor thing. She glared at him for a moment, then sighed. All right, she said, knowing this was one battle she could never win. Protsenko and Nadis started removing their suits, ready to hand them over to the two miners. I'm in as well, Svetlana said. My daughter's there. I'm not letting anyone else go after her in my place. Bella stared hard into her eyes. You know I'm still going to have to arrest you when we get back from Eddytown. You disobeyed a direct ruling not to talk to the musk dogs. In addition, you owned and operated an illegal forge vat and ran an unauthorized construction file. Your actions may cost us Janus. You've already cost us Eddytown. I'm hoping there are survivors, Svieta, but I'm damned sure there are going to be casualties. Done with the lecture? Pretty much, for now. Svetlana's eyes narrowed suspiciously. What you just said about us getting back from Eddytown. That was a slip, right? No, I'm still coming with you. But you think Janus is going to blow? Yes. And you're still willing to go back there, even though you could go with everyone else to the embassy? Yes. Something behind Svetlana's eyes gave in. You don't have to do this, she said softly. Oh, I think I do. Like Mike said, it's a minor thing. Once upon a time we were all miners, all in it together, pushing ice. That was a long time ago. Still appears to be about the only thing we're good at, if this mess is anything to go by. Takahashi and Boyce were already inside the Chakri Fives Nadis and Protsenko had vacated, the conformal suits adjusting their dimensions to match the differing builds of the two men, elongating here, tightening there. You'll need a suit too, Takahashi told Bella. Have one of the bailiffs bring you down a Five. Then we can move out. I haven't trained in them, Bella said. As a matter of fact, it's about 30 years since I last wore any kind of suit, even an Orlan. You need something, Bella, Takahashi insisted. There'll be emergency suits on the train. As long as it holds air, I'm not fussy.